So, good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about endurance. As many of you know, I only started on the Christian path a few years ago, but I'm continually surprised to hear that there are people who have been raised as Christians who no longer believe or walk with God. They know all about the Bible and how God wants them to live, and did so for a period of time. But for one reason or another, they've turned back from following Christ. In talking with fellow body members and other people, I learned that these people just quit in many cases. It got too difficult, the road got too narrow, and they decided it wasn't worth it. I think, in many cases, people who quit lack endurance. They don't have what it takes to endure difficulties or setbacks, and like some of Jesus' own disciples, referenced in John, they turn back from following Christ. So, not just in our spiritual lives, but in many other areas of our lives, the difference between success and failure is having endurance. So, like I said before, I'm going to talk a little bit today about endurance and see how it can help us succeed or remain on track in the Christian life. Webster's defines endurance as the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity. The NAS New Testament Greek lexicon defines hupomone, which is the Greek word, as the characteristic of a man or woman who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose and their loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So, we want the ability to stay on track to get to where we want to go, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how we feel, regardless of opposition, and regardless of difficulty. We need the ability to endure. We want to be iron men and iron women in a spiritual sense. We don't want to be known as aluminum foil men and aluminum foil women who crumple under the slightest pressure. Because my start in the Christian life coincided with my beginning in triathlon, I've noticed a lot of parallels between doing well in the Christian life and competing in an Ironman race. The Ironman is a triathlon, for those of you who don't know. There are four distances of triathlon. There's the sprint triathlon, the Olympic distance triathlon, which is actually an Olympic event. There's a half Ironman and a full Ironman. The full Ironman triathlon is a 2.4-mile swim, followed by a 112-mile bike, followed by a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles, for those of you who don't know. You have to accomplish all of these events, or these three events in an Ironman, in 17 hours to be official. The first Ironman took place in 1978 with about 15 people. They all thought it was going to be a two-day event. If you don't finish in 17 hours, it doesn't count. It's just officially a really long day. So now Ironman triathlons have gained popularity. They have over 2,000 participants per event, and there are approximately 28 events around the world. My personal and only time I've completed an Ironman time is 15 hours and 37 minutes. It took me last year at Lake Placid. So, our spiritual lives are similar to Ironman races. They're also a little different. We don't know how long our spiritual race is going to be. It can end today, it can end tomorrow, or it can end in 50, 75 years. I think we should all ask ourselves, what am I doing today to make it count for eternity? Am I fully pleasing to my God in my actions, in my thoughts, and in my reactions? So, I'll speak a little bit about my personal journey and experiences with triathlon. I started training for triathlon in January of 2009. When I did that, I had never swum more than 25 yards in a pool. I hadn't ridden a bicycle outside in over 12 years, and hadn't run more than 5 miles since high school. I don't think I ever ran more than 5 miles. But. So, no aspect of triathlon came easily for me, or naturally for me. And as a matter of fact, it still doesn't 3 years later. One thing I did notice is you don't have to be the fastest swimmer, the fastest biker, or the fastest runner to finish. You just need to be consistent every day. So, why did I decide to start doing triathlon? So, I'll explain a little bit about where I was before I started. I was at a job I didn't love. I would come home from work about 5:30, going through the motions. I would literally lay down on the sofa to watch TV as soon as I got home. Usually fall asleep for a nap, get up, eat dinner, watch some more TV. Usually when I fell asleep, there was a cat on me at some point. So I wanted to push myself outside of my comfort zone. I was tired of being comfortable. It was about the same time Nancy and I started coming here to BAC. So how did I start? I found a coach who could lead me in my physical training. He developed specific workout plans. Because what I had done in January of 2009, I told you the four distances, I had signed up completely out of shape, 40 pounds heavier than I am now. I signed up for a half Ironman in 5 months. So, never having done that, my good friend said to me, Dan, if I didn't know you were a smart guy, I would have said you're really stupid. So, still maybe crazy, I don't know. So my coach developed specific workout plans that would assist me in achieving my goal of finishing. My goal for that race was to finish alive and smiling. And then my secondary goal was not to be last. But I would have taken last. So I followed each of these workouts through the cold, through the dark, every day, many of which were really difficult. But I knew that in order to reach my goal, I would have to endure a good deal of physical pain and suffering. So it was about the same time that Nancy and I found myself growing in my faith. Nancy and I were reading the chronological Bible together, and I found the teaching and examples of others in the body guiding my spiritual training. I now see the parallels between my physical training and growth and my spiritual training and growth. To compete in Ironman, you have to do the work. You can't take a day off. You have to deny yourself things like sleep, comfort, sweet and fattening foods, which I like, and downtime, otherwise known in my house as sofa time. It is the same way in our spiritual training. Before we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we must have deliberately done God's will every single day, which often means denying ourselves of certain pleasures, wants, and desires. We must also trust that God will give us the grace, power, and strength to get through the hardships we'll be faced with. In other words, to endure. So, once I had this plan for my triathlon coach, I jumped in. The first part that I had to tackle was relearning how to swim, or really learning how to swim. I could hang out in a pool all day, but when I first put my face in the water to swim, it didn't go so well. And what I didn't realize is that I had a real fear of open water swimming, because when I trained for the race, I trained in the water in the pool that was 3 feet deep. So whenever you got tired, you just stood up. And when I started my first triathlon, it was 100 people running breakneck into the water, and it was like a washing machine. And then I swam out a little way, and I got tired. I said, oh, let me just stand up. And I sunk to the bottom. And so right there is when I had a full-fledged panic attack. Really a full-fledged panic attack in the water. So to finish that swim, I had to overcome my fear. I had to endure the fear to continue to get out to go to the bike and the run. My friend Misty helped me with a Bible verse that I look to all the time. Now, when I get in the water, it's literal for me, but could be metaphorical for you. It's Isaiah 43:2. And it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Let me tell you, it really helps. Thanks, Paul. I feel that this is a perfect example for all of us so that we can endure when times or things get difficult and scary. So the question you ask yourself is, why should we choose to endure when things get tough? Why not just give up, take the easy route? Well, I know from my reading that there are rewards that God has promised to us and to those who are faithful and endure to the end. And it is important to know, as we said in praise time, that Jesus endured the cross and suffered for us in our salvation, and that we know that suffering is part of the Christian life. Endurance is a characteristic that we need to take on, just as Jesus did, I found some examples that are probably starting your sheet. We run our earthly race to obtain a heavenly reward, glory, salvation, and everlasting life. In Romans 8:25, Paul's talking about the glorious future which awaits faithful believers and says, we don't get it without perseverance, which is another way of translating our word endurance. He says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. Even the father of faith, Abraham, to whom God directly gave promises, needed the characteristic of endurance to obtain the blessings God promised. Hebrews 6 says, and so, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I read somewhere that Abraham had to wait 25 years for Isaac after he was promised the son. So we too, as New Testament believers, exercising faith, have the need of endurance to be blessed. And as it says in chapter 10, for you have the need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So, we see that if we want to enjoy getting God's blessings, we need to have endurance, or we'll be like those who missed out. But how do we get endurance? And we get and we build endurance by developing biblical hope and encouragement. In Romans, Paul writes, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the endurance and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. Hope for what? Hope for rewards. So when I was trying to figure out my hope for rewards, in talking with Steve, we figured out that think about what you want. Think about the greatest thing you could have, and then multiply that by a million. Multiply it by a billion, and we're probably still not even close to the rewards that are waiting for us. So, in I'll go to Romans 15. Now may the God of endurance and the encouragement grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. So we see here that God is our source of endurance. Goes on to say in 1 Thess, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So see, there's that hope. Also in this sentence, in this verse, he's saying labor is tougher than work. So I ask myself a lot, as we work, does my labor, does that glorify Christ? But how does God give it to us? How does he give us endurance? He does it by providing hope in his promises. So the hope of future blessings inspires us to put forth the extra effort when we start to falter. When we're tempted to take the path of immediate pleasure or gratification instead of the narrow road to glory. All right. So God gives us endurance through inspiring our hope by providing promises of blessings. For those who keep putting one foot in front of the other when they just want to just quit, sit down, and take it easy. So let's take a look at some examples and commands that God's given us as well to help us endure. We should endure because it's a characteristic of Jesus and the successful saints in the scripture. Colossians 1. It goes on to say, being fruitful, increasing in the knowledge, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all endurance and long-suffering with joy. So we see here that God will give us his power to endure. 1 Timothy says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. We need to run after it. Goes on to say, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So right there, we're all going to endure hardship. Be faithful. He says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul's writing this while he's enduring his own imprisonment. So if he's writing this and he's enduring, I think we can too. Goes on to say, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, endurance. So endurance is something we're actually supposed to follow here. he was actually, Paul was pointing out the qualities of his own teaching to Peter. These are things we're supposed to add. We're supposed to add to knowledge self-control, to self-control endurance, and to endurance godliness. When I was researching this verse, self-control was defined as not easily succumbing to discouragement. So, don't get discouraged. So, it doesn't happen automatically, endurance. We have to make the effort to develop it like a muscle, just like I had to get a coach and train in triathlon. It's not an isolated trait either. It has other characteristics that support it, develop it, complement it. Revelation says, "And you have persevered and have endurance, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary." It goes on, "I know your works, love, service, faith, and your endurance, and as for your works, the last are more than the first." So you see here that endurance is one of many important characteristics that we need to develop. So, back to the Ironman. The next part is a 112-mile bike. Most people I know don't like driving 112 miles, let alone sitting on a very small seat on a bike for that long. The bike portion of the Ironman is longer, if you can imagine, than riding from New York to Philadelphia. It's actually, if any of you have driven from New York to Hartford, it's about that long. So, it's a long time on the bike. This is the point during the race when you settle in and you start working your plan. You have to be patient. There's no way you can go all out or at breakneck speed for 112 miles. Every once in a while, I talk to my brother about my pacing and everything, and he'll say to me, "Can't you just redline it from the start?" And you can if you're doing a sprint triathlon. That's a, you know, basically a red line race. But for an Ironman, you can't. You have to be able to. It's all about pacing. You know it's going to be hard. You know you'll want to stop. But to finish, you have to keep pedaling. So as I go through the bike portion of the race, or as you continually try to learn more about God, things are going to come up. Obstacles are going to get in your way. In triathlon, could be a crash, as you all know. Could be a flat tire. Could be wet weather or something less obvious that could affect you later. As Christians, we're surely faced with obstacles to our growth and our ability to share the truth with others. I think that this is the entire point of Satan's existence, to throw us off course and to tempt us with what looks like an easy shortcut. Let's see what the scriptures say about being thrown off course in our spiritual journey. Paul writes in Romans, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character, hope." Here, when I was looking through the verse, glory is defined as rejoicing. So we should actually be rejoicing in our tribulations. I know it's hard. I know I don't often, but I'm trying. James writes, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So, tested is the same word here used for testing coins to make sure that they're genuine. So basically, testing of our faith is going to make sure that our faith is genuine. He goes on to say, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So, no endurance, no blessing. James was motivating his audience to endure difficult times by holding out the hope of future blessings for those who endure, like Job. He says, "To Thess, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, testing our faith, causing it to grow." To Timothy says, "Persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." So the Lord's going to deliver us out of our hardships and difficulties. Says it right there. And 1 Peter said, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." So I believe we're going to suffer for things that we should suffer for. And it says here, that we're also going to suffer wrongfully. So it's actually commendable when people are doing things or you're going through a hardship, not of your own making, to have endurance. We can expect lots of bumps along the way, trials, tribulations, and tests, but God promises we'll be rewarded for enduring. So, at this point, back to my race. I've worked my plan. I've come out of the swim safely. I'm on solid ground. I've biked 112 miles. I think to myself, now I only have to run a marathon and I'll be done. People say that in triathlon, the marathon is the cool down. But this is where it gets tougher than you can imagine. It's too easy to get focused on crossing the finish line, visualizing this, and hearing the announcer. When you cross, there's a famous announcer in all Ironman races. His name is Mike Riley. He's at the end. And he shouts out your name when you're running across the finish line. So insert your name here, but it says, Dan Belmonte, you are an Ironman. I actually have it on my phone. My brother recorded it from Lake Placid. It's really pretty cool. But this is where I personally have to learn to remain patient. I need to rely upon God's grace and strength and endure the physical pain that is yet to come. Because you think, I can't explain how hard it gets. When I began working on this sermon, I thought that attempting an Ironman was a sign that I had endurance. The Ironman's often called the hardest endurance activity in the world. But then as I was working on the sermon, I thought about other examples of people that I know who are elite endurance Christians. I thought about many of you here, and specifically I thought of Isaac. He's had to endure repeated infusions. He's had to endure the side effects that go with them and endure the unknowns of his illness. I now see how he has endured his trials in a manner that I would like to emulate myself when I go through a trial. He is my example and an excellent example for all of us, for someone who has endurance. So as I was thinking about him, I said, how does he do it? How does he go through this? I think I know how. He relies on God's grace, God's power, and strength to get him through. We're all going to have our own trials as we go through our lives and as our personal journeys unfold before us. Even the author of Hebrews spoke about this in chapter 12 when he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, that's anything that can hinder us, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that means fixing our eyes to Jesus and the prize, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This reminds me that Jesus endured the cross for me. I owe it to him not to let him down, to endure whatever gets in the way of me being a good and faithful servant. I want no regrets when I'm at the judgment seat. He's my example and our example. He wasn't focused on the cross, but on the crown. Not on the suffering, but the reward. So, as most of you know, my most recent Ironman was last month in August in New York City. I made it to the starting line after enduring the worst cold that I've had in 5 years at the beginning of the week. And I also dodged a bullet of there was a big sewage line break in Tarrytown. So I think I was dodging things other than bullets. So we went in, we started the swim, and I made it through the swim in the Hudson 50 minutes faster than my previous Ironman last year in Lake Placid. 50 minutes. Most of it due to the current. But still, I'll take what I can get. But then I biked up and down the 112 miles of the Palisades Parkway in 50 minutes faster than last year. So it's a lot faster. They actually shut down the Palisades Parkway, the southbound lanes from exit 13 to the bridge. And we were actually on the highway, biking on the highway. Everything was going great. I saw my team at transition. I only had the marathon left to do. I saw my friend who was also in the race. I was at mile 14. She was at mile 7. And I thought I felt okay. And then literally within 50 feet, I got really dizzy and I went down to one knee. The medical staff was there immediately. They took my blood pressure. It was 90 over 50 as I was laying down. My color looked really bad. They said, I couldn't see. I thought it might be the Hudson, but but as I went to get up to say, I think I'm okay, the medical staff grabbed my wrist and said, your race is over, Dan. And they took me to the medical tent where I needed 3 liters of IV fluids. I hadn't taken in enough water on the bike ride, and it caught up to me on the run. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing during the earlier part or every day. And as I've been reflecting, I remembered thinking to myself, when I hit mile 14, that if I just run these next 12.2 miles, that I'll break 13 hours for my race. So last year, 15 hours, 37 minutes. This year, sub 13 hours. Would have been unbelievable. I realize now that I thought I could do it alone because, as you know, I crashed my bike last year in a race, so I pray all throughout the bike. Swim, I panic attack, I pray all throughout the swim. But the running, once I got to mile 14, I figured I could do it alone. I figured I didn't need God anymore to finish my race. I'd gotten through the two hardest parts of the race for me. So I realize my mistake now. I didn't actively seek his guidance or support at that point in the race. I know now that I'll rely on God for all things and at all times. I hope I've learned this lesson and I don't have to learn it again. I may not have finished this particular race well, but I know that I'll never stop relying, leaning on, looking to, and trusting in God. I think he's proven time and time again to all of us that he will reward those who diligently seek him. And this means in times when the endurance is most needed. So, back to the people I spoke about in the beginning. Christians who start off well, start off strong, and who get sidetracked, thrown off course, peter out, and no longer walk with God. Let's see what the Bible says about how we can finish our own race strong. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." I think Paul's saying here that we need to keep our eyes on the eternal prize versus the temporal prize. We need to fight to get that prize. It's not going to be easy. But I think the Christian life offers the opportunity for all of us and many of us to be winners. He goes on to say, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." That means ministry is hard work, but I think God will equip and encourage us to share the good news. He says, Paul finishes writing, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." So, what a great feeling that would be if we can all say that. So I would say, keep fighting till the end. But in order for a triathlon, even to get to the start line of a triathlon and have success, which for me, since I'll never win, is completing them, you need to have a great support team. You need a coach. You need your family, friends, loved ones to help you get registered. Make sure you have all your race gear, travel with you, set up your bike and gear in the transition the day before, and get you to transition when it opens on race day, usually at about 4:30 in the morning. It seems like an individual sport, but like our ministry, I think it really is a team sport. Similarly, we need a support team in our spiritual race as well if we want to succeed. We need to have examples of godly men and women in our lives. We need to read the Bible regularly, which is our training manual. We need to have accountability relationships with body members who will love, encourage, or like Tom's sermon on parakaleo, call us alongside them, support and guide us when things get tough, and help keep us focused on our goals. As Bill likes to say, holiness is a team sport. So, I heard a Navy SEAL explain that the overarching theme of Ironman was mental toughness, enduring pain, and suffering. You may ask why we do this as a recreational activity. He said that if we're capable of competing in an Ironman, it opens our mind to the concept that we're capable of much more if we put the time and effort into it. He feels that finishing strong, giving your best effort throughout race, and leaving it all on the course is a definition of victory. This sounded like he was a way of describing how to succeed in our Christian life as well. I know that things don't always go perfectly for us or easy. It's not a reason to stop. If a goal of yours has gotten off track or your faith isn't what you want it to be, remember to seek God's will and endure. Today is the day to start. Thomas Edison said, "Our greatest weakness is giving up. The most certain way to succeed is to always try one more time." So there's another quote that I use a lot of times when I don't want to train or do something. I heard someone say once, it's just as easy to talk yourself into something as it is out of something. So last year at Ironman Lake Placid, during the bike, was about 6 weeks after my crash. They have a cutoff time. If you don't finish your 112-mile bike ride by 5:30 p.m., you can't even start the marathon. So I was going to be close. And so I made him a promise. I had been thinking about joining FCA Endurance, which is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They're big on college campuses around the country, but they have an endurance arm for marathoners and triathletes. So God got me through the bike cutoff time with about 45 minutes to spare. So I was planning on joining FCA Endurance, and then I think God, just to remind me of my promise to him, as I was walking into the hotel at 11 o'clock at night, there was a guy sitting there typing on his computer in an FCA Endurance shirt. And so I talked to him a little bit. It turned out he had finished the race 5 hours before me. And he just happened to be sitting there in the lobby typing an email right when I walked by. So I'm really thankful that Garrett now has decided to spearhead an adult New York City huddle of FCA Endurance. So I've decided now that from now on, when I race, I'm going to race to do my best to bring God glory. They have a creed that I'd like to read. It says, "I'm a Christian first and last. I'm created in the likeness of God Almighty to bring Him glory. I'm a member of Team Jesus Christ. I wear the colors of the cross. I'm a competitor now and forever. I'm made to strive, to strain, to stretch, and to succeed in the arena of competition. I'm a Christian competitor. I face my challenger, and as such, with the face of Christ. I do not trust in myself. I do not boast in my abilities or believe in my own strength. I rely solely on the power of God. I compete for the pleasure of my Heavenly Father, the honor of Christ, and the reputation of the Holy Spirit. My attitude on and off the field is above reproach, my conduct beyond criticism. Whether I'm preparing, practicing, or playing, I submit to God's authority and those He has put over me. I respect my coaches, officials, teammates, and competitors out of respect for the Lord. My body is the temple of Jesus Christ. I protect from within and without. Nothing enters my body that does not honor the living God. My sweat is an offering to my Master. My soreness is a sacrifice to my Savior. I give my all of the time. I do not give up. I do not give in. I do not give out. I am the Lord's warrior, a competitor by conviction, and a disciple of determination. I'm confident beyond reason because my confidence lies in Christ. The results of my efforts must result in His glory. Let the competition begin. Let the glory be God's." Thank you, guys. questions?
Yeah, Dan, I guess I can see when you're in the race how everything around you kind of would push you to strive and you know, kind of produce your best results. But the piece that's so hard for me to understand how you get through it is all the training. So, you know, getting up really early in the morning when it's raining and going to the pool or whatever you have to do to go practice. Is there anything that kind of you would think about to kind of make it through to all that training that gets you ready for this?
What I did is when I first started, so to go from nothing until to a half Ironman, I told everybody I knew what I was doing. I let everyone know, so they were keeping me accountable. And then also, I learned another quote that said, fear is the great motivator. So, and then I see that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, for me, those two things, the fear of drowning, the fear of drowning, and kept me practicing swimming when I didn't want to, when it was freezing out and I had to walk to the pool and swim. I think those two things, the accountable to everyone, because everyone was going to be asking me, how are you doing, Dan? How's your training coming? And I didn't want to be, oh, I didn't do it, you know. So that's, I would say that was it. Steve.
Two questions. So lots of people will be motivated to do something when there's like a crisis in their life. They have a heart attack, I'm going to stop smoking, or you know things like that. But it seems like you're sitting on a couch watching TV with your cat. I mean, what really was it that said, was there a catalyst that said, I got to get up off the couch?
I think in my head I was not happy with who I was, and I wanted to be better. So a lot of what I do now when I try to train or through work or through everything is, how can I be better today than I was yesterday? How is God going to be pleased with what I'm doing today more so than yesterday? And that's kind of, I think it was, I didn't know it then, but I think then it was, this is not who I want to be.
How do I know if I'm fat and happy and sitting on TV in my spiritual life? Or if it's not as an object and I'm not overweight, or if there's no visible sign necessarily. Is there a parallel?
I think there is. I think we could have, like I was saying before, we can have accountability partners. And I think having one thing that I've done is have my life be open to a lot of people here, a lot of my family. They know everything that's going on. So I think it's pretty hard to hide stuff and to not be where you think you should be if people know, if you've told them your goals and they know where you want to be going. I think Bill says it, that independence is the essence of sin. It's easy to get off track when you're by yourself. It's hard to get off track when everyone knows what track you want to be on because you've told them.
Just the flip side, what would you like to get from a coach to help you in the training or the endurance?
What I got from my coach was, we sat down in the beginning, and it was, we talked about our goals, my goals. And this is, so it was a baseline, this is where I am, this is where I want to go. And we talked about time, how much time I had to do the workouts, how much, what I was better at versus what I wasn't better at. And so we worked on my weaknesses and didn't always have to work on my strengths as much. Anybody else? Any questions? No? All right. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being the God of endurance. Thank you for enduring us all through hardships. We thank you for Jesus, who gave his life for us and endured the hardship of the cross for our salvation. We thank you for all the blessings we get every day. We ask that you bless us, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and bless our food. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.